now we're getting to the bottom of everything.
It's time for Mother Angelica.
I mean, that's awesome.
Answering the call.
Answering the call.
This world is no place for Catholic chickens.
Answering the call.
You call that a failure? I call it a great success.
Here's Father Joseph and Doug Keck.
And welcome to Mother Angelica Answering a Call, a special program. Doug Keck here, along with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Welcome, Father.
Good to be with you, Doug, to talk about Mother's wisdom and to learn from her as she continues to impart things that are helpful to all of us in understanding our lives and practically responding to them.
Right, and this is a special in honor of Mother's birthday, but it's called Answering the Call. And, of course, Mother Angelica totally answered the call, but this really talks about the times where she answered calls on her live show.
And that was a very important part of her live programs because it made the audience part of that show. And we all have questions, right? So it helped to answer some of the questions we all have. And Mother, with her wisdom and her prayerful experience, just had so much to impart to people.
And what did you find in listening to the calls over the years and the live shows we were at or watching at home over the years? What struck you about Mother's response to people in general?
It was very compassionate. You know, Mother herself went through a lot in her life, from her young years and so on, physical pain, emotional pain, her mother's own struggles, family troubles. So she had this motherly heart, and she could speak to people, understanding where they were, maybe calling them higher than where they were thinking they should be, but always with that compassion and encouragement. And so it's something that you can receive, right? If it's given with love, we can receive even a correction when we need it.
and some of these, if you listen to them, they're kind of time specific to what was going on in the church and mm-hmm. in different ways. But in other ways, they really transcend time, don't they, her answers?
They do, because there's always these perennial questions that we have. The meaning of life. How do I pray? What do I do when life really is hard? And so Mother has wisdom to help us.
Now, one of the first ones we're going to deal with is a question that's going to come up about the starting of the network and the foundation of the network. You were here pretty early on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience in those early days?
Yes. And those were wonderful days. The network was just 3 years old, having lots of technical problems, which is how I ended up here. Mother's appeal for an engineer. And we were only on the air 4 hours a day. It was just television broadcasting the United States at that point. And to watch it grow and develop over the years, there was always construction going on. There was always a new projects. And we were just following Mother, her lead, her inspirations. And it was an exciting time, a wonderful time.
Well, let's hand it off to the one and only Mother Angelica as she's answering the call.
We have another call. Hello?
I'm wondering how the television network started. We're new to this. And what really brought it into being?
That's a long story, but I'll try to tell it to you real quick. In 1973, the Lord began to give me books to write, and as a result of those books, our sisters printed them, and we gave them away, and people began to ask me to give talks. So I did, and I got invited to a channel in Chicago, Illinois, that was a Protestant television network, and I was invited to a talk show. As I walked in the studio, like this one, only much, 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 much smaller. I realized how small it was. And I said, wow, to myself. I said, it doesn't take much to reach the masses, you know. We're small. I said, Lord, I gotta have one of these. I didn't think it was asking too much. But I thought, what would you do with it, you know? But I came home and made a tape. It was a disaster. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, really bad, bad. I looked like Grandma Moses sitting in a rocking chair. And most of you are too young to know Andy Gump, but that's how I look. And I was ready to junk it, you know, and the sister said, no, Mother, you can do it. I said, okay, one more time, I'll try. Well, I did, but I didn't know what to do with it. I had a tape about this big in my hand. I didn't know what to do with it. So I asked a friend of mine, and she said, well, why don't you send it to CBN? So they called me. I was surprised she brought it there. They called me in 2 weeks and said, Mother, We saw your tape, and we think it's very good. I said, you do? I said, yes. Can you make 60 of them? I said, oh, sure. You know what it means to make 60 half-hour shows? I didn't. But I thought, well, why not try? So we found a place, and I made 60 shows, sent them to them. Was on another series when I saw a synopsis of a movie called The Word, blasphemous movie, depict Jesus as a false prophet. So I noticed that network I was going to air it. So I asked to see the manager. And I said, are you going to air this movie? He said, yes. I said, are you Christian? He said, yes. I said, you air a blasphemous movie. Oh, he said, do you think God cares? Well, that time I was ready to. I said, yes, he cares, and I care. Are you going to air it or not? Anyway, he said he was, and I walked out of the studio. I told him I would not air my programs. I would no longer make programs or air them on his station. He said to me, you leave this station, you're off of television. I said, oh, no, I don't need you. I only need God. I'll build my own. And that's what you call having a big mouth. But I didn't have the slightest idea what to do. And that's, we made it, we built it, we did build the studio. I came home, I told her sisters, and that morning we decided to build a garage. And when I told them I wouldn't know what to do, I said, where can I build a studio? And they said, garage. I said, ah, garage. So I went down and I said to them, contractor was already digging a foundation, and I said, hold it. He said, what's the matter? I said, we're not going to build a garage. He said, what are you going to build? I said, a television studio. He said, a what? I said, television studio. We did. The wonderful story, I have a book on it, you ought to get one. It shows all the wonders of God's providence. Unbelievable providence. He wanted this network for you in these serious times.
You're listening to Mother Angelica.
Answering the call.
Hello?
On EWTN Radio.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Mother. God bless you and I love you.
Thank you.
I dropped out of high school about 2 years ago. I was in a gang.
You what?
I was in a gang about 2 years ago, and I dropped out of high school. And after I was converted, I felt that God was calling me to either become a priest or a lay brother, mm-hmm. especially in the Franciscans.
Yeah.
So I went back to high school, and I'm now in a high school completion program.
Wonderful.
But there's just one thing stopping me in the way is a MAP test. It's a California MAP exam to pass and get my high school diploma. And I failed it 4 times. And I pray and I study, but I don't know. I always keep failing. And sometimes it discourages me, but I know that God, anything is possible if I cooperate with Him. And I just wanted to ask for your prayers, dear Mother.
Sweetheart, you haven't failed. You have succeeded. Why? It takes a real man to keep going when he doesn't make out too well. See? The Lord is training your will to go on your path. We'll pray for you. But you haven't failed. People fail only when failure overcomes them and they lose hope. You have not failed. You have succeeded in overcoming yourself, in overcoming a great obstacle. Let me tell you, one of the greatest saints we have in the church failed almost every test he had, the Curé of Ars. You ought to get his book and read it. But I tell you what he did. He converted 250,000 people by hearing confessions 15 hours a day. Maybe he didn't have a lot of smarts, but he had the one most necessary. To want to please God and to love Him. So you go on. If you can't be a priest, come over here and we'll make you a brother. God seeks holiness from each one of us. He doesn't ask for degrees. He doesn't ask for great accomplishments. He asks for our love. You love him, and that's all that's important.
Well, there you have the one and only Mother Angelica. And the first one, it struck me, Father, she talks about how she looked like Grandma Moses. And she always talks about Andy Gump, the old cartoon character, and notices that nobody really remembers who he mm-hmm. is. You can look him up on the internet now and see the cartoon. And the other thing I thought was a great line, which she said to the second caller, the gang member, "You haven't failed, you've succeeded. It takes a real man to keep going when he doesn't make out too well." And that was also Mother's perspective on our own life, I guess, too, right?
What a beautiful encouragement, because we all face that, don't we? Should I give up because I'm not succeeding? And she said, no, you've succeeded because you're persevering. So now we're going to listen to a sweet call. You know, Mother really delighted when children would call, and they often would call. And so we're going to listen to this little call of a little girl preparing for her first Holy Communion.
Now, we have a call. Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Where are you from?
My name's Gracie.
And how old are you?
7.
How wonderful. What's your question, sweetheart?
I want you to pray for my class because they're making their first communion.
Your first communion?
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful. Well, what day is it?
March 24th.
Wonderful. That's the day before the Annunciation. What a wonderful, beautiful gift. Why don't I say a prayer for you and all the class? Would you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord Jesus, this child knows that she receives you in the Eucharist, Lord. And all those children in that class will know. Because she said, "I will receive Jesus." I ask that you bestow upon each one of this class that's going to make their first communion a very special grace. Let them know, Lord, how much you love them. And give them that remembrance of that day, that they can carry the joy of that day with them all the days of their life, so that we may all appreciate your love for us. Amen.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call
on EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And we are back here on the premiere, a special edition, Mother Angelica answering the call. I'm Doug Kecht, along with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, on this wonderful program dedicated to the wit and wisdom of Mother Angelica, at least how it became available to viewers on the show over the years as she answered their questions via phone on the show live. And, you know, it was a wonderful segment as we went into the break about the little girl and the first communion, about praying for a class. And Mother's comment, the fact that it's a remembrance of that day, that you can carry the joy of that day with you throughout your lives. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of us to take heart. And it's not just checking a box, going, you know, having your child make their first Holy Communion, is it?
And this little child seemed to really anticipate this is going to be a very special day for her and for her whole class. And indeed it is. Our first Holy Communion, our last Holy Communion, every Holy Communion is a wonderful treasure that we can hold in our hearts. Because as she said, that this child knew that Jesus loved her. Mm. And where do we experience most but in the Most Blessed Sacrament and Holy Communion?
And we have to remind people that when they go back to Mass, how important that is to receive the sacraments. And again, Mother was never afraid. And the next call has about the idea of don't be afraid and what that means. Let's listen.
We have another question. Hello? Yeah, where are you from?
From Pennsylvania, Mother.
Good. And what's your question?
I just wondered if you could explain the difference between the fear of natural death and the fear of the Lord in light of what the Holy Father is always saying about be not afraid.
When our Holy Father says do not be afraid, that does not give us license to goof off. Like, oh, don't be afraid. God understands. You know, it's okay, everybody. Don't be afraid. That isn't what he's talking about. What he's talking about is do not be afraid of the consequences that we must pay for. from our sins. We all know that our dear Lord has to intervene in history. We're going from bad to worse. I mean, you don't have to be bright. We all know that. How many of you, first thing tomorrow morning, are going to look at the stock market? It went up. Wonderful. It went down. Oh. Every day you do that. It's a wonder you don't have a heart attack. Well, the problem is that we're not supposed to be afraid of those kind of things. We're not supposed to be afraid. We are to trust in God to the point that no matter what happens, humility tells us we deserve it. Love tells us he will take care, that he has providence. His providence rises before the dawn. His mercy will always forgive us. And that's what our Holy Father means. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fight against abortion. How many times are we afraid because we don't want people to think ill of us? I could care less what you think of me. Who cares? You're not going to be there when I die. The Lord will say to me, Angelica, did you tell him the truth? What happens if I say, well, no, Lord, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, you know. I feel sorry for them. I mean, they're really under grave temptation, and they really don't know what they're doing. And, oh, really? I sent you to tell them. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Even if he said to me, Angelica, you know, you're a little hard on them. I'd say, well, Lord, that's because I love them. Yeah, I'll give you 2 days in purgatory. I don't mind going to purgatory for 2 days for you all. If you got up there, I wouldn't care. But there is a wonderful gift from the Spirit called fear of the Lord. It has nothing to do with being scared. It has to do with being loving. I don't want to hurt my Father. But we cannot accuse God of being afraid to correct us. Then I would have to question his love for me. He has to correct us because he loves us. Oh, you can't get upset over that? No, you can't get upset over death. Why? Because we're going to see him face to face. I think it's wonderful. So you see, if the stock market goes down or up, don't worry about it. If it's down, it'll be up. If it's up, it'll be down. That's life. Watch rather where your love of God is. We know where his love is for you. So shape up or ship out.
Here's more Mother Angelica answering the call.
We have another call.
On EWTN Radio.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hi.
God bless you. You've meant so much to me in my life and drawn closer to Jesus. Thank you so much. My question was kind of two parts. The more I get closer to God, the more I see my faults. And I feel like, I don't know, there must be a fine line. I don't want to be scrupulous, but then again, I don't want to be complacent in my faith. And I want to get like plenary indulgence for myself and or for loved ones in purgatory. But then I wonder, well, if I make, you know, a venial sin, like if I slip and I'm impatient with someone, then can I not receive that indulgence for that person?
Are you scrupulous?
I don't know. I'm wondering if I'm being overly something or other. I'm not sure. That's why I wanted to ask you what you thought, Mother.
Well, remember, honey, we're all impatient. We're all everything. That's the consequences of original sin. Have you ever noticed children that may be 1, 2 years old, and all of a sudden another baby comes along? What happened? They don't like it. They're jealous. Did you say that little kid's jealous? Uh-huh. It comes out, you see. It's all there. It comes out. Now, it'll get over it. We're all imperfect, but we need to try not to offend God. I don't think because I like cherry pie, God's offended. He gave somebody the grace to make a good one. It's hard to make cherry pie with a God. But you see, if you make a good one, that's a gift from God. So you don't need to be scrupulous about that. If you're impatient with someone, you might try love. I read not too long ago that this woman's son got under a car, and she ran over and she lifted up that car to get him out. Did she have strength before? No. Where'd she get it? Because that the next day she tried to lift the fender and she couldn't. Love. So when you're impatient and you have all these faults and weaknesses, say, God, I don't want them, and I love you. Help me to overcome. And go your way in peace. Now, if you have some grievous sin, that's different. Go to confession. What would we do if the Lord didn't give us confession? Oh, we'd be in a mess. But see, he's been so good to us and so generous with us that even when we goof off, he's there to help us. I got a picture was given me by the network has Peter sinking in the water. And our Lord's reaching way over there and pulling him up. He does that with you. He does it with me. He does it with everyone. So trust the Lord.
So you've got, don't be afraid, and really dealing with suffering and other things and impatience, as Mother says. It struck me, she said, when she first answered, when our Holy Father says, don't be afraid, that doesn't mean we have a license to goof off.
That's right.
You know.
So we're called to be free, right? Free from fear, as St. John says in his first letter, and love casts out all fear. But that doesn't mean license, which means you do whatever you want, including sin. So Mother sets us straight there, and we need to be
Absolutely.
Set straight. You know, Mother, one of the things about Mother Angelica that we love, you know, because today a lot of people don't have older people, maybe grandparents or even fathers or parents in their life to give them kind of direction in their life. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And I think that's one of the gaps that Mother Angelica helps fill in. She gives us just sound advice.
Absolutely. There's wisdom there. And the other thing she brought up, and this is something so important, I think, for all of us today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fight against abortion. How many times are we afraid because we don't want people to think ill of us? I could care less what they think of me. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be there when I die.
Yeah, that's right. So what matters most is, how are we going to appear before God? Have I done his will? Have I preached the truth, as Mother brought up in this segment as well? So we need to be those people who live the truth, who preach the truth with love, but also calling people higher, as we all are called higher.
Well, let me ask you, Mother referenced a picture she had of Peter sinking in the water and our Lord pulling him up and using that as an analogy for what our Lord will do in your life. Had you ever seen that picture?
Oh, certainly. And we're all there, she said. We're all in that place where we're sinking. We're looking at the waves around us, the storm that's around us, rather than keeping our eyes on Jesus. Why did you have such little faith? Jesus said to Peter, and he took him by the hand. And so he carries him up. And the same for all of us, right? That Jesus is the one we keep our eyes on, not the storm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now let's listen to another caller on how to pray.
We can't have time for another call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
Rhode Island.
And what is your question?
I was watching television, and I switched channels, and I saw you.
Uh-huh.
And I was, I guess you call it arrested, watching you, listening. I had a question
yeah.
for you. I stayed away from the church. I've been away for about 26 months now.
Yeah.
A lot of things, very painful, happened in my life. And I guess I've been angry with God.
Yeah.
And not known what to say in a prayer. Maybe even felt that my prayers weren't heard anymore. And I've been bitter and angry.
Can I pray for you?
Love your prayers.
All right. Lord Jesus, this child of yours loves you. And you love her. I don't know what happened, Lord, but let her know you want her back. That you're not the cause of her pain. She's a victim of perhaps other people's bad decisions. Give her grace and love and bring her back. To you, my friend, I'd like you to go to a Catholic church where Jesus is exposed, and just sit there. Tell him about your anger, and just let his love and his peace, the light that comes from that Eucharist, fill your heart with love and joy and forgiveness and hope. Come back home. Don't stay away. You stay away from the fire, you get cold. You stay away from the dark and the light, you get in darkness. You stay away from the physician, you get more and more ill. You stay away from the spirit that can give you life and peace and joy. You see, you harm yourself, sweetheart. Come back. He's waiting for you. Right now in the little Catholic church, the Lord is saying to himself, I hope she comes. Go. He's waiting for you as if you were the only person in the world. I'll pray for you. Bye now.
Mother has more to say to you. Stay tuned for more Mother Angelica answering the call on EWTN Radio. The original Catholic talk radio, Mother Angelica answering the call, continues on EWTN Radio.
And thank you so much for staying with us. Mother Angelica answering the call, a special edition for Mother's Birthday with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Doug Keck, your hosts. And we can think back to what we just heard from Mother Angelica before the break. I thought it was interesting in her response about the person who left the church, the idea that she talked about, she's the victim of perhaps other people's bad decisions, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And praying for that person.
Right. And so that's how we overcome our own pain many times, is by praying for the very people who hurt us. And something melts away within us. Any resentment that may still be hanging there melts away when we forgive them, when we let go of that pain from the past.
Right. You commented on another quote that she had in there too, right?
Yeah. She talked about just sit before the Blessed Sacrament. And I often give that advice myself to people. I say, just sit there before the Lord. Bring to him your anger, your frustration, what you're upset about, but also your trust, your confidence. That's how we should always conclude our prayer. Yes, I'm upset. I don't understand what's going on in my life. But Lord, I trust you. I have confidence in you.
Let's see, as Mother takes another call, what she has to say.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hey, where are you from?
Houston, Texas. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I had a question about mean-spiritedness. You've heard the word, have you?
Mean-spiritedness?
Mean-spiritedness.
Yeah, yeah. I was called that just the other day.
Well, I wanted to ask you if... I read that a church is forming a commission to look into unity and people who are mean-spirited. And I wonder if you thought they'd do anything about the mean-spiritedness of people who tell the faithful that they can't read the catechism because they're too dumb.
I was hoping somebody would ask me that tonight. Mean-spiritedness. Let me tell you what they mean. They mean, if we say that Jesus is body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, and they say, no, it is a symbol, then you are mean-spirited. If you say that Our Lady was immaculately conceived and these are all true miracles of Jesus, then you're mean-spirited because they say it is not true. If you say that Jesus not only knew he was God, he knew he was the eternal Word, he knew it from all eternity, and he knew the time would come, he would come to redeem us. They say, oh, wait a minute, he didn't know that till he was crucified. Then you're mean-spirited. If they say there is no grace, there is no original sin. Everybody is in grace when they're born. And you say, no, we must be baptized. There is original sin. We must get rid of that. Then they say, no, you're wrong. You're mean-spirited. St. Paul said, there is a difference between light and darkness. In fact, he said light and darkness have nothing in common. There must be a truth. and in the Catholic Church is the truth. How can you argue with a dissenter? One then has to give in. I would hope they all began to really believe in the Eucharist, to really, really go to encourage your people to go to confession and not write these stupid notes and then burn them in a bowl and say, they're all gone. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe they're all gone, if you believe it was nothing but paper and that you must go, you must hear those awesome words. I absolve you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If they say that's not true, then you're mean-spirited. They say if you have a vertical liturgy, now that sounds important. We have a vertical liturgy because we believe the liturgy is a sacrifice and that that priest is an alter Christus, another Christ. But if you have that, you're wrong, because they believe in a horizontal liturgy where it's you and me. I love you, but I'm not going to get into heaven sitting next to you, you see. I got to get to heaven doing something else. And now all the in-betweeners have a laughing theology, I understand, in Toronto. People go nuts laughing. It's supposedly a gift of the Holy Spirit. I think it's a gift, but not from the Holy Spirit. I've had good reports on this laughing business, this laughing gift, but it sounds mighty wacko to me, if you want my humble opinion. Why can't we all be satisfied with the Eucharist? We have Jesus himself, with Our Lady, with all the beautiful things that come from this holy pontiff. Why do we have to go around acting like a bunch of loose screws? Nuts! Please. And they will say, there he is, and there he is, and there he is. And the Lord said, don't believe him. Isn't it strange why those in Toronto laugh themselves sick? Our Lady is crying everywhere in the world. And her Son, crucifix after crucifix, shedding tears of blood. Apparently, my friends, they don't think anything is worth laughing about. Be careful. Be careful. Joy cometh from the Lord, from Him in your heart. You can have that joy in the midst of tragedy because you are one with the Holy One. You don't need a lot of feelings. You are ready to accept life where it is and as it is.
This is Mother Angelica answering the call.
Answering the call
on EWTN Radio.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Oh, yeah. Where are you from?
I'm calling from Minnesota.
And what is your question?
And my question is, when we I pray every day, and my question to you is, when like I'm at work or just out walking, is it wrong to just speak to God as if I was speaking to my next-door neighbor, telling him my concerns, my problems, thanking him for how the day is going? Is it wrong to talk to him that way, or should we do that in formal prayer?
Oh, no. No, you talk to him that way. Yes, that's wonderful. That's conversation. Prayer is conversation with God, see? And talking to him that way brings you closer together. And not only that, but it it pleases him because your mind and heart is not willy-nilly somewhere else. It's with Jesus. And I wish everybody in the world would talk to Jesus like that. Good morning, Lord. Some of you can't say a civil word till you have a cup of coffee. You grope. Where's my coffee? You never said good morning in your whole life. You said good morning to a cup. Now, you have to have some caffeine. Oh, okay. If you got to have caffeine, say good morning to God, then drink your coffee right away. And say good morning, Lord. I hope today's better than yesterday. It was a miserable day, Lord. I don't know if you understand, but it was a miserable day. I mean, everything that could happen happened to me. Could you make it better today? Could you remind me that you're my friend? He said, you talk to God that way? Yeah, I talk to God that way. And then you say formal prayers. We say the Divine Office. We have the beautiful Mass, prayers at Mass. There are times we might, the Rosary is a kind of formal prayer. But Jesus wants you to talk to him. Even when you're reading Scripture, you could say, wow, Lord, what did you mean by this? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to offer. Oh, do you realize how much time and money we spend on the flesh? Hair dye, something to take off, wrinkles. And they must fill them in. Is that what you do when you fill them in? You can't cover them. You must fill them in. Makeup. You know, my mother used to make me wear makeup. And she'd make me put lipstick on, and I never knew how to do that. And she'd say, for God's sake, can't you even put lipstick on? And then she'd come and put it on for me, and I felt like my lips were smothering. I go down the struck. I felt like something terrible was happening to my, like I was suffocating them. And you see, all of that money is, why are we talking about that now? What was the subject of this whole call? Huh? Talking to God. There you go. Thank you. But see, talk to God. Even about, well, you don't wear lipstick, but even about things that are totally irrelevant. You're waiting for a red light. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we almost saw a terrible accident today. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody was hurt. It didn't happen. Everything's fine. You can talk to God, and please do. He is your best friend.
So there you have Mother back to back. Let's think back on the first one. I thought that was funny when first was talking about mean spiritedness, and the first thing Mother said, I hope somebody would ask that question. I was just called that the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and some of these things are kind of dated. Thankfully, they've passed away. We haven't really seen some of these things that are happening, people going to confession and then leaving their sins in a bowl and then burning them and those sorts of things, and this laughing theology that was going on, which is quite strange at the time, and thankfully those things seem to have passed away. But nonetheless, she has just insightful remarks. You know, why can't we be satisfied with the Eucharist?
Mm-hmm.
We can be running after so many different things, trying different new innovations. Well, the Lord's given us the sacraments, so let's rejoice in those. Let's embrace them with our whole heart.
Right, she said, let me tell you what they mean. They mean if we say that Jesus is the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, they say, no, it's a symbol. Then you are mean-spirited, like you mm-hmm. said. Then she said, there is original sin. We must get rid of it. Then they say, no, you're wrong. You're mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole idea. And I thought the other point she made, and which you brought up with the laughing thing, is how we always say, when you're testing what's going on, if it's of God, it will last.
Exactly.
If it's not, it will fade away.
Mm-hmm. The truth is buoyant, I always say. It just comes back to the surface. And if something is not true, and Mother's saying, we got to hold to the truth. Even if people don't like it, if they call us mean-spirited or make all kinds of accusations, that nonetheless, the truth is the truth, and that's what sets us free.
And what was great in the second one is Mother explained what Mother does all the time, which is in prayer, just talking to God in a very natural, easygoing way. And she was the epitome of the ability to do that. And this person's concern was, I feel like I'm, in a sense, I'm not addressing God appropriately.
And that's one of the beautiful things you see, even in some of these clips, or here in these clips, that Mother will pray with people. And it's just from her own heart. It's not a formal prayer typically she's doing, but it's something from her heart.
Let's see what else she has to say from her heart.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother. I love you, and
Thank you.
I love watching your show. I was raised a Catholic, and I've always wondered, how can a person be happy in heaven if someone they love very much, like their sister or their brother, if a loved one didn't make it there? I've often wondered. Thank you.
Well, that I know on earth it's hard to understand, you see, but when we get to heaven, we will see things as God sees them. And we will also understand the infinite justice of God. We will also understand that the person in hell was not judged to go to hell. He chose that hell himself, you see. Also in heaven, our holiness and our union with God is so absolutely perfect and so intense that it is not possible for our heaven or our happiness to be marred by the reality that a person we loved on earth didn't make it. We will know fully that that person on earth was not the person I thought he was. And that the judgment of God was not something he imposed, that God imposed, but the soul himself turns away. It's hard for many people to understand. But I understand it in these days, the last 4 or 5 years, better than I have my whole life. Because I have seen people so adamant against God that I think if God, Jesus stood right in front of them, they would say, I don't love you. I hate to say that, but a man we know died just saying that. I don't want to go to heaven. It shed the shivers up my spine. And we can't imagine that, but it's unfortunately true. Unfortunately true. And so we have to understand that in heaven it is not possible for us to be unhappy. Because our heart and mind and soul have all been changed totally to the image of God, and we are so beautifully filled with that love that nothing can decrease it, even if someone we loved was not there. We will know for sure they chose not to be there.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call
on EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And we are back here. Mother Angelica answering the call is the program. The hosts, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Doug Keck, guiding you through some great commentary from Mother Angelica. She responds to questions from years ago from her live shows. And on the last one, just before we get into the next one, we're going to talk about the fact that this person was concerned about getting to heaven. And Mother talks about how when you get there, you'll see God's real justice.
Yes, and I think that's a concern probably many people have, because we know people that did not live a very good life, rejected God, perhaps. We don't know, of course, how that soul has ended up. We entrust them to the mercy of God. But what if they're not in heaven? Could we be happy? And so Mother very wisely puts it, each person makes their own choice, and we'll be at peace with that choice and God's allowing that person to make that choice for heaven with him or to be separated from him.
Right, and in the next call, there's a question, and the answer is, God really knows who we are. Let's see what Mother has to say.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from Syracuse, New York. My name is Carol.
Good.
The question that I have concerns the destruction of the little human embryos for stem cell research. The question is, those little souls, do they go direct to God, whether they're baptized or not?
You know, that's a question. I'm not too sure anybody can answer it. In the old days, they had a nice solution to people that were not baptized, and that was, what is it?
Limbo.
Limbo. Okay. And that's a nice thought. It's supposed to be a place of perfect happiness. You know, I don't think anybody even here, most of the thing, I wish I was in heaven, I wish I was dead. Oh, you're just chickening out, that's all. You just don't like the problems you have, you don't like the temptations, you don't like the suffering. And so you cop out by saying, oh, I wish I were dead. Well, if a doctor told you, you'd be sweating all over the place. You know, I mean, it's just a fakey thing. If you were here and the weather was perfect, the food was absolutely wonderful, you didn't have to work, you didn't have to slave over it, there was no heat or cold, everything was perfect, I don't think one person here would wish to go to heaven. What makes you want to go anywhere? Misery. I wish I were younger. Well, you're not. So you got to live with it. I think limbo would have been, and maybe is, there's no doctrine about it, so you can have your own opinion. I would think, though, that aborted children and these and others have to be some kind of martyr. I don't know. Because it's the law of God that they don't want to obey. No matter what reason you give for abortion, it's the law of God. I will not serve. I will not have this baby. I want to be healed, and I don't care what it costs. You see, it's a selfishness that's unbounded. I wouldn't be surprised if when they die and all the aborted children were in heaven, you say, well, how do you know that? I don't know that, but I know God is good. I also know that they were unjustly treated. And I also know that I think they're little martyrs. I think they're in heaven, whether they have a martyr's crown or not. The Holy Innocents didn't know Jesus. They didn't willfully say, I want to die for Jesus. They may have gotten a light, I don't know. You see, and certainly these are Holy Innocents, all of them.
One I wanted to pick up on and ask your response, when the person asked about aborted children.
Mm-hmm. So the church is, that was a theological opinion. There's a place called limbo. Since they weren't baptized, and yet we know they had not committed sin, then theologians had come up with this idea that there is a place where they are perfectly happy, but they don't enjoy the beatific vision. That was never, however, officially taught by the church. But the church today in the catechism simply says we entrust them to the mercy of God. And also we think about Jesus welcoming the little children. And so I like Mother's insight here where she says that I would think that aborted children and others have to be some kind of martyr.
Right.
Because they've died for goodness, you know. They've been rejected by people rejecting God's law.
Absolutely. And with that being said, we've got one more call, and that'll do it for us as well on this special edition of Mother Angelica Answering the Call, and we'll go out on this one.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, well, where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
How are you? How old are you?
I'm 7 years old.
And what is your question?
Well, I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to tell you this. When I grow up, I want to be a nun like you.
Thank you.
And I love you. Thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, sweetheart, I thank you for that. The nicest compliment I've ever had. Just keep close to Jesus. You see, at this point, this child has light. She has light. She wants to give herself to God. That's light, huh? And that light comes from God. It comes right from God, and we can't smother it with the world, with the flesh, with sin. We can't smother it. You know, keep that in your mind, sweetheart. Just say, Jesus, show me the way. I will pray for you. every day.
For more about Mother Angelica and to listen to her shows, go to EWTN.com. See you next time on Mother Angelica, Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.